What are some of your favorite wise sayings? One, you probably heard, the early bird catches the worm, that's right. Or the rolling stone gathers no moss, that's right. Or this one, I've heard this one a lot in my life. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Great minds think alike and fools seldom differ. Practice makes perfect, or, you know, then everybody's, but wait, perfect practice makes perfect. Okay. A penny saved is a penny earned, that's right. A fool and his money are soon parted, yes. And then another one, you might not know this one, time flies like an arrow, fruit flies like banana. I'll move on from that one. So these antidotes and wise sayings, and the goofy ones too, have been handed down for generations. And why? To build wisdom in the hearer. While they might be simplistic maybe at times, there is truth in each one of them. And of course, there's many more we could have on that list as well. The whole point of these statements is to encourage and express value in life wisdom. Day by day wisdom. Why? So that life is not wasted or brought to ruin, but to fruitfulness and success and well-being. While these sayings have their value, they do not compare to the wisdom contained in the book of Proverbs. Here are just a few selections. Are you familiar with these? Proverbs 3, verse 27, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Or Proverbs 12, verse 16, the vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. Or I love the graphic nature of this one. Proverbs 18, verse 6, a fool's lips walk into a fight. What? Just a word picture there. Proverbs 21, verse 1, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wills. Or maybe one more. Proverbs 25, verse 28, a man without self-control is like a city broken into it and left without walls. Are you familiar with those? I hope you're familiar with more beyond that list as well. The Proverbs are often like having hydrogen peroxide poured on that knee that you just scraped up on your bike. Wow, does that hurt, but wow, do I need it. The Proverbs convict, they warn, they instruct. The Proverbs teach biblical wisdom. We need more of the Proverbs in our lives. We need the Proverbs daily in our lives. But while we read and memorize the Proverbs, that doesn't mean all those verses are easy. Some of those Proverbs are a little bit easier. A fool's lips walk into a fight. Okay, I know a young man playing on one of our area high school football teams, and he's had some stories of players getting in fights. How do you think that started? Mouthing off at each other first. He's not been involved. He's observed this others. The fool's lips walked right into it. Some of them are easier to grasp. Some of them are not. Some as well have some popular teaching that hasn't always been accurate. We think of the much quoted verse of Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child, which often has been used to cause much grief on parents. But there is another major section of Proverbs that, while maybe not mistakenly taught outright, has usually been taught apart from its proper context. And this section of Proverbs makes me a little nervous because it's absolutely a sacred cow within evangelism. There are even entire ministries, blogs, books, Bible conferences named after this section. But without the proper context, well-meaning pastors and Bible teachers and ministries have wielded this section of Proverbs to much harm and certainly to misunderstanding. And that section is Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 is the go-to passage for Mother's Day, for women's Bible conferences. It is the ultimate standard of what it means to be a godly woman. But are we sure that that popular teaching has this passage correct? A better question, are we sure that the popular teaching of Proverbs 31 is the primary point of Proverbs 31? That it's every type of industrious woman every Christian woman ought to be. Here this morning, rather than present the common interpretation of the passage, work through the text, and then come to the better understanding, today I'm going to lead with what I believe to be, from the Scriptures, the correct understanding of this chapter, and then we will explore the book together to see if that position is right. So here it is. The primary point of Proverbs 31 is the exaltation of wisdom. It is the concluding and culmination of the theme of wisdom from the entire book. This chapter then is for all believers, men and women alike. So what's going on here? Again, here's the hand on the table, and then we'll explore and see if this is right. Proverbs 31 uses the personification of wisdom as a woman, a wife, a mother. Why does it do that? It does it to give practical and tangible expression of what the wisdom of all of Proverbs looks like in real life. So that is what Proverbs has been doing the entire time. The personification of wisdom, Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. While there is secondary application to women on living a wise life, and there is secondary application to young men, the type of wife to pursue and to marry. It's secondary, though. The primary application of Proverbs 31 is for all of God's people, men and women alike, to understand the treasure, the value of true biblical wisdom, to long for that wisdom, to pursue that wisdom, to embrace that wisdom for all of life. Pastor Sam, are you sure about that? Is that true? Well, let's allow Proverbs itself to reveal the answer. Okay? So we begin first then with some nuts and bolts, some components, and let's see if this is true. So first, wisdom, the word wisdom. It's a feminine Hebrew noun, femininely personified. So first, the word wisdom. In the Hebrew language, which is similar, Greek is the same, Spanish and French would be modern languages that are the same. There are nouns in this language can be feminine or masculine. It is not to say that those nouns are exclusively only feminine or only for ladies or only exclusively for men. It is just simply the way the language works. Subject and verbs must agree in gender, male or female. And Hebrew works like that. The word for wisdom is a noun. It's a feminine noun. So English doesn't work like that. Frankly, it would be really helpful sometimes if it did work like that, but it doesn't. So this does not mean that in Hebrew, wisdom is a female-only concept. So if, ladies, if you just elbowed a man next to you, you better take that back, because it does not mean that. So in no way is the Hebrew language, and most certainly not the Bible, saying that wisdom is intrinsically female. Women are not naturally wise and men naturally foolish. That's not the point. That's not the point. That would be the wrong conclusion. This is simply noting the linguistic reason why wisdom is usually discussed in feminine way in Proverbs. It's similar, and I'm not trying to be cute with this, it's similar to a car guy's favorite car, okay? So let's say that's a 1969 Plymouth AAR Barracuda. Let's just say it was that. And what I, aw, she's a beaut, might say that. While Proverbs uses many other words related to wisdom, instruction, insight, prudence, discretion, understanding. There's many other words used in Proverbs related to wisdom. Proverbs talk about the same thing. This is the primary word throughout the book. It's certainly the theme. And so wisdom is a feminine noun. First piece of evidence, we can look at it like that. This is a feminine noun. Second is the structure of Proverbs 31, specifically verses 10 through 31. And Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, is an acrostic of the Hebrew alphabet. What that means is every one of the verses, as marked in our English Bibles, is the next, begins with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet and goes right down the alphabet. So an example to reword some things in an English way. So maybe something like this: an awesome wife who can find, a blessed lady, her husband trusts her, a caring woman, so does him good all her life, a diligent worker, A, B, C, D. Every line begins with the next letter of the alphabet. That's what's going on in Proverbs 31, 10 to 31. It's the Hebrew alphabet. The next line begins. This literally is the ABCs of Lady Wisdom. It makes sense why the portion of Scripture tends to jump around a little bit. There doesn't really seem to be this guiding principle of which topics are discussed here. It's artistic. It's thematic. And the next line beginning in this acrostic way. So notice, the verses do not talk about a woman's personal love relationship with her husband, or her intellectual strength, or her emotional strength. Even more significant, this does not talk about her personal relationship and worship of God, her creator. These verses, so what's going on then? These verses are a praise of the virtue of wisdom, first and foremost. That explains, that fits with the acrostic structure of these verses. Third here under this first main point, wisdom personified. Wisdom has been personified as female all throughout the book. One of the very important passages Jared read for us in Proverbs 4. We're going to think about those verses again. There are two important verses there on the front of the bulletin here. So what is personification? This is from Grammarly.com. You can check me out later. Not right now. Don't Google search it now, but you can later. So personification is a figurative language technique where non-human things are given human traits to create vivid emotional descriptions. So writers use personification to make scenes more relatable, more engaging, and impactful to the hearer. Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is a master of the Hebrew language. And he is using personification to exalt and teach on wisdom. Some other examples, we can think of Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 to 33 do this. This Lady Wisdom. Proverbs 8, verse 1 into chapter 9, verse 12 talk more of Lady Wisdom. So Solomon here, he is using this feminine personification language to describe another woman in Proverbs as well, Lady Folly. He'll refer to the seductive woman who is like a predator seeking for prey at the street corner. And more of that in a moment. The point is, Proverbs, from beginning to end, Proverbs uses personification to describe, to illustrate, to point to wisdom, and by comparison, folly. It's part of the Hebrew poetry going on in this book. One last of this first main point. The bookends of Proverbs, chapter 1 and chapter 31. We begin in Proverbs chapter 1. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to flip back quickly and read verses 20 to 23. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Proverbs begins with exalting wisdom in this language of personification. What happens at the end of Proverbs? A much grander display of wisdom presented in this feminine language as Lady Wisdom, exalting wisdom in this personification. If this is the intended device of Solomon, which I believe it is, then Proverbs 31 is serving as this grand finale. It's this glorious conclusion of all the truths taught through this book. Therefore, at the least, there is more going on in Proverbs 31 than simply or only instruction to Christian women on how to be a wise woman. There's more going on here than only that. All right. Second main point this morning to consider this. Pastor Sam, are you sure about that? For your consideration, think on this with me. Number two, a hymn to Lady Wisdom. A hymn to Lady Wisdom. There are many hymns in the scriptures, and they are beautiful. We think of Exodus 15, the Song of Miriam, and they praise the Song of Moses, the Song of Miriam, and they praise after they went through the Red Sea on dry ground. We think of this again and repeated themes in Deuteronomy 32. We think, of course, of the Psalms being the hymn book for the people of God. We think of Mary's hymn of praise in Luke 1, 46 to 55, where she exalts in God who has entrusted in her to carry the Messiah. Philippians 2, 6 through 11 is a hymn constructed as a hymn. Colossians 1, 15 to 20, another hymn in the scriptures, famous verses. Proverbs 31 fits that same structure, the rules, how a hymn works, it fits the same one. So once again, there is more going on in Proverbs 31 than only instruction to women to be wise. Compare with me one. You might just jot this down. It might be a little too much to flip back and forth, but the comparison of Proverbs 31 with Psalm 111. Again, Psalm 111 and compared to Proverbs 31. And all credit due, commentator Alan P. Ross is one of the best commentators the book of Genesis, and then also here in Proverbs that there is. And this is borrowed from him. This is his work. But you compare these. So the psalm begins, Psalm 111 begins with hallelujah or praise the Lord. Proverbs 31:31, which says her works bring her praise. It's the same Hebrew word, hallelujah. Psalm 111 verse 2 speaks of God's works. Proverbs 31:13 speaks of her works. Psalm 111 verse 2 says that the works of the Lord are searched or pondered. The same Hebrew word is used in Proverbs 31 verse 13, how she selects wool and flax. Just for sake of time, I won't march through all of those, but all the verses of Psalm 111 match up in the same vocab, same structure as here of Proverbs 31. It appears that Solomon is borrowing from the structure of Psalm 111 to form this grand conclusion, grand finale of the treasure of wisdom. One last thought here on this point. It's a heroic hymn. Another stylistic structure within the scriptures, as well as other literature, is of a heroic hymn. In other words, a hymn of praise towards a hero or virtues. Here it's this ode to a champion, this hero. So this woman of valor of verse 10, of noble character. It's the same that appears in the Judges of a mighty man of valor. There's the language of strength and vigorously laboring. It's also referred to other of the scriptures of heroic deeds and powerful deeds. There's of lacks nothing of value, verse 11, and it's the same. It's actually this word plunder, which appears also in other portions of scripture of heroes. Verse 19 says she holds. It's this expression also used in military settings, such as Jael smiting Sisera. and that surpasses them all of verse 29 is this expression of victory. It's this expression of winning. And once again, the same point. There's more going on here than ladies be a Proverbs 31 woman. There's just more going on in these verses than that. Let's move on to this third main point then. Consider with me Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly compared and contrasted. There are actually many characters in Proverbs. So there is, of course, the wise. There is the wise of Proverbs, but there is also the fool. But there's some other characters. There is the simple. There is the simple is presented as doesn't know, is easily led astray, doesn't have radar for this, which is different than the fool. There's the sluggard. We're going to think about the sluggard in a second. There's the sluggard, which says, oh no, there's a lion in the streets, we will die, but then does nothing for it, does nothing about it. And then there is the scorner. The scorner is a different version of the fool. The scorner is more than just foolish. The scorner is outright laughing at, mocking of God's wisdom. But it's not a stretch to really have two categories in Proverbs, the wise and the fool, wisdom and folly. And as we've already seen, Solomon usually, not every time, but consistently, he talks about lady wisdom and lady folly. Again, Solomon is not saying that women are inherently wise or foolish or vice versa to men. That's not the point. He's simply using a literary device. This personification and a play on the feminine gender of the word wisdom. It's masterful writing from Solomon. Well, let's consider some. Just a brief survey. We can't possibly consider them all. Lady wisdom equals health and life. If you're taking notes, you're welcome to jot down the references. If you'd like to turn to these, you can. I will move kind of quick through them. So, lady wisdom equals health and life. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Right at the very beginning of this knowledge, this wisdom is fearing God, health and life. Proverbs 3, 7 and 8 says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Whatever is going to be said about wisdom in this book, it is healing. It is refreshment. Proverbs 3, 16 to 18. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. For those who lay hold of Lady Wisdom and treasure her, their life is blessed. Proverbs 8, verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. Notice with Lady Wisdom comes additional blessings, prudence, knowledge, discretion. And then Proverbs 9, verse 11, for by me your days will be multiplied and your years will be added to your life. Wisdom adds years to a person's life and days multiplied. You've maybe seen some of these pictures. So you'll have a pool. And they desire to have, the folks who have this outdoor pool, it's above ground pool, they desire to have, maybe it's a speaker out there. So what do? They get a little raft and they run a power strip out to it and they put the power strip on the raft and then they plug in their speaker. Friends, it's sitting in a pool. Is this a good idea? No, okay? So wisdom says don't do that. The fool does that. They shorten the days of their life. Right? Or you'll have the pictures. Maybe it's a third world country, but let's be honest, some of us have done it too. And they'll be working, painting in some place, and they'll have a ladder going this way, and then another ladder going this way, and then a ladder going this way, and there's a guy up there painting some hard-to-reach spot, right? Hey, it worked. Nobody died. We got it done. However, okay, wise or foolish? We got to be honest, that was foolish. Making the wise decisions, treasuring wisdom, it adds days to your life. Here's the point, all throughout Proverbs, Lady Wisdom equals health and life, blessing, other gifts added to your life. So lay hold of this wisdom, treasure this wisdom, pursue this wisdom. How about the flip side of Proverbs? Again, we'll consider several Proverbs here. Lady Folly equals destruction and death. This is the way Solomon is writing through this whole book. Proverbs 1, verse 32. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. The path of folly leads to destruction. Or we don't have time to read all of Proverbs 6 and 7. The theme of Proverbs 6 and 7 is the seductive adulteress, pictured as calling out, come unto me, to this man out by himself at night. Or she calls out and says, my husband is gone on this long trip. He will not return for many days. Come, I have prepared my house for you. And on it goes. It's Lady Folly. And what does the proverb say in Proverbs chapter 6 and 7? It's unto that man's destruction. Proverbs 14:1 says, the wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down. It's dual level. It's personification wisdom and its practical application. Proverbs 16, verse 18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Or Proverbs 26, verse 12, do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than him. Proverbs 26, verse 15, the sluggard buries his hand in the dish, and it wearies him to bring it back to his mouth again. He desperately wants the M&Ms, and he has a beautiful bowl full of M&Ms. Oh, I love M&Ms. These are my favorite. But it's so hard to bring my arm back to my mouth. That's the sluggard. He dies of starvation. It's Lady Folly. It's foolishness. It ends in destruction. Proverbs 29, verse 25, the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. All throughout Proverbs, Lady Folly equals destruction and death. Lady Wisdom equals health and life. Therefore, this is just a brief, very brief survey across the Proverbs. The study could go on a great deal. While more could be said, I believe this is sufficient to see there is more going on in Proverbs 31, 10 to 31, than the building block for women's ministries or for the Bible text for Mother's Day, or worse, used as a club to Christian women for false guilt, how they don't measure up to Proverbs 31. Solomon, the human author, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the divine author, saying much more. Proverbs 31, 10 to 31 is the grand finale, the glorious conclusion to the praise and value of true God-given wisdom. Flee from Lady Folly. Treasure and embrace Lady Wisdom. And this will be life and joy and peace for you, men and women alike. Because the path of Lady Folly in foolishness, immorality, scorn, and arrogance will be your destruction. So, like the treasure, which is a wise wife and mother, such a precious treasure, so is true biblical wisdom. Therefore, Proverbs 4, 7, and 8. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Cherish her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. Church, I believe this is the true in-context understanding of Proverbs 31, 10 to 31. Therefore, how does this apply to us then? The final point, the application of Proverbs 31 for us today. First, four subpoints here. First, this is practical application in story form. That's what's going on. Proverbs 31 is the practical application of all that has been said about wisdom in story form. Not every detail, but an expression of practical wisdom. So the woman of Proverbs 31 is Lady Wisdom. She is real, as in she is a real character in this example, but not a known woman that Solomon knew. She is the embodiment of all the practical results of embracing and treasuring wisdom in the description of this made-up Israelite wife and a mother who is wise. So think about it this way. Sermon practical application can look different ways. It can look like, so because of these verses, you must go and do this, this, and this. It can look like that. But another way sermon application can go, here is an example, here's a story that ties in everything we've thought about. And Proverbs 31 is that style of application. Again, it's masterful. So therefore, how do we respond? Love wisdom. All who follow God, all who are part of God's people, love and treasure and pursue and embrace wisdom. See the practical value of biblical wisdom. Understand the danger of folly and flee folly and give yourself to wisdom. We are right to admire the woman of Proverbs 31. But the point is to admire the treasure, which is biblical wisdom. So first application, this is practical application in story form. Second, a practical application is for a son to treasure and pursue wisdom. So remember, this is now we're getting to secondary application here, but Solomon is writing this to his son. And he desires for his son to stay away from folly and scorners and to pursue the life of wisdom. So this is a secondary context. Solomon's son to follow his father's instruction and do this. He is to see that all this talk of wisdom has great practical effects. So to speak. So son, don't just see how important this is in your life and decision and actions, but see how important it is for you to attach your life with others who are also walking in wisdom. See that. And there is no greater blessing at the human level than a spouse that walks in wisdom. So our response then, yes to looking for and pursuing and marrying a godly, wise spouse. Yes for pursuing to be a godly, wise spouse ourselves. Yes, but that's the secondary application. The first is to understand the value of wisdom and to see that it comes from God, to value it above all else. Third point of right application then, for sons and daughters to see wisdom in daily life. So Proverbs is written from a father to a child. That doesn't mean small elementary age children, although the Proverbs are great for small elementary age children, but for all children. So children who are part of the family. In the broader context, that means God's family. So at the time of writing is Israel. For us today, that is the church. It is Christians. So friends, it's the same application then. You, me, love wisdom. Pursue wisdom. See the value of wisdom. And you will be blessed. You will bless others. Love Lady Wisdom. Finally, then, a final application. And for this, we have to zoom. We're going to zoom way out and to see the scriptures as a whole. So zoom way out from this. Is Christian, the church, find the greatest living wisdom in Christ Jesus the Lord. Treasure the greatest embodiment of true biblical wisdom. For this point, we zoom way out. So there's Lady Wisdom of Proverbs 31 is not the greatest embodiment of wisdom. Many have pointed out that Ruth in the Bible really does line up pretty good to Proverbs 31, but Ruth is not the greatest embodiment of wisdom, although she is an excellent example of wisdom. There is another. Christ Jesus the Lord is the greatest living embodiment of wisdom. Do you want to know what true wisdom looks like? Look to Christ. Look to Him. He perfectly exemplifies and displays. He teaches, He speaks perfect wisdom of God. The greatest application of Proverbs 31, indeed all of Proverbs, is to embrace Christ by faith. And this is absolutely Pastor Sam's opinion, okay? The other, I really think I'm right. This one, I really could be wrong. But I can't help but see a connection of longing for wisdom. Whatever you have to do, get wisdom. And of Christ's communication about the treasure buried in a field. And the man, and he goes and he sells all that he has so he can buy that field. Or the man who goes and he sells all that he has to purchase that pearl of great price. It's Christ. It's the gospel. It's His kingdom. To treasure wisdom is to treasure Jesus. It's to treasure Christ. So we don't worship wisdom. We worship Christ. And we pursue His wisdom. To conclude, famous last words. It's real short. There are many wise sayings in life. Some are more true than others. That is true. But there are none greater than those contained in the Bible. So where do we go to learn such wisdom? We go to the book of Proverbs. That's true. We can read a chapter a day that matches up with that date. Today's the 17th, so read Proverbs chapter 17. But there's another place as well. And that is to look upon the glorious beauty of Jesus Christ the Lord, to learn of Him and from Him in all His word, as John 1 tells us. It's all His word. And find the direction and hope of life in Christ and salvation for all eternity. So ladies, are you called to be a Proverbs 31 woman? Well, yes and no. We all, men and women alike, are invited in, are compelled, are urged to treasure God's wisdom, to choose the path of wisdom, and to flee the path of folly. We won't do it perfectly. We're not going to achieve that. But this wisdom will have direct, practical effects in our lives. For every Christian that follows what God says, embracing wisdom, pursuing wisdom, you will see God's blessing. And I believe that's the point of Proverbs 31. So I pray for you that you will follow the instruction again of Proverbs 4, 7, and 8 as applied to Christ. My slight paraphrase. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Get it in Christ. Cherish Christ, and you will know His exaltation. Embrace Christ, and you will share in His eternal home.